Can we think for a moment of things in our own lives which are wheat? Things that bring glory to God. Things that bring good fruit in our own life. Perhaps we're good listeners. Perhaps we're caring or kind. Maybe we enjoy being hospitable or are generous. Could we hold on to one or two things in our lives that are wheat? And maybe we can think about our own lives for a moment and think about things that are not so good. The weeds in our own lives. Things that we do, the way that we act that we wish we didn't. We're going to have a moment of our confession now. The chance to say sorry for the weeds in our lives. And after we've shared some thoughts about this parable, Hayley will help us in our intercessions to think about the wheat in our lives, to give glory to God for the good things that we do that bring him glory as well. So we've got some words for a confession on the screen. I invite you to join me with the yellow type. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us, for behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us and help us, for failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us and help us, for letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations of the world about us. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For living as if we are ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So a farmer sowed wheat in his field, but while he slept, an enemy sowed weeds, and the wheat began to sprout, so did the weeds. And this gave a dilemma, didn't it? What should he do? If he pulled the weeds out now, he'd destroy the wheat. So he told his servants to let them grow until the harvest. Now, a parable is a story using concrete imagery to make a point. In Jesus' case, the point is about the kingdom of God. So what can we learn from this parable this morning? I think the simple answer is the kingdom of God is a mixed bag in which wheat and weeds grow together side by side. You can't always tell them apart, but whatever's growing out in our lives, God can take that and turn things to his glory. Three things we need to know about this parable. The first from that quiz we did a little bit earlier. In Jesus' day, sowing weeds in a neighbour's field was actually a common way that people used to get even with each other. Instead of sort of putting graffiti on a wall or egging your neighbour's chariot or anything like that, they would actually sow weeds or tough grass called darnel in the neighbour's wheat or corn or barley. And it had become such a common practice that the Roman government actually passed laws to ban it. The second thing is, this particular seed spoken in this parable is called a bearded darnel, and it's a variety of ryegrass, and that's important because in its early stage of growth, it was indistinguishable from wheat. You just couldn't tell them apart. So you didn't know there was this darnel, these weeds growing in your field, until the stalk started to produce. And of course, then it was too late because the roots had become interwoven. And the third is that the seeds of this bearded darnel were actually poisonous. They actually made you sick. The word comes from the French word darn, which means stupefied. And there's some pretty nasty symptoms if you ate this darnel. So, as always, when Jesus told a parable, it was a parable that related to people's lives. People would have been used to having these weeds sometimes appear in the midst of their wheat fields. So Jesus told this parable of a farmer sowing wheat, but while he slept, the enemy came and sowed darnel. And as the wheat began to sprout, so did the darnel. So what did he do? Let them both grow together until the harvest. At the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather up the darnel and bind them in bundles to burn them, and then gather the wheat into my barn. Can we see how this parable applies to us today? First, it speaks of a sin that many people have, of judging other people, of playing God and deciding for ourselves who's worthy and who's not. Jesus recognized this in his followers. He tells us earlier in Matthew, "Don't judge so you won't be judged. For whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you." We know him better. We know better than to stand judgment. Yet sometimes we can do it anyway, can't we? Perhaps there's something deep inside of us that wants to separate the sheep from the goats, the saints from the sinners, the good from the bad. In a book called Going Home, Robert Raines describes what the Church of Jesus should be like. It's not a neat, tidy, sober congregation seated side by side in back-to-back pews facing forward, but a milling crowd pushing and shoving and loving and laughing, a Moses-like mob in the wilderness on its way to the promised land. It's not the righteous, but the sinners that Jesus came to call. And in another of his teachings, in Matthew 13, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea. It gathered fish of every kind." So I think that's the first lesson for us this morning. The kingdom of God is a mixed bag. It's not always clear what's the wheat and what's the weed. And as such, we do well not to judge one another. And the second thing we learn is that when it comes to human nature, none of us are completely saints or completely sinners. Even Paul says this, "For I don't know what I'm doing, for I don't practice what I desire to do. But what I hate, that I do." And I think this is why, when he was finding a way to describe the final reconciliation of the world to God, the prophet Isaiah put things this way: "The wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie with the young goat, the calf, the young lion, and the fattened calf together. A little child will lead them, the cow and the bear will graze, the young ones will lie down together, the lion will eat straw like the ox." In the final act in the drama of salvation, the tensions that exist in all of God's creation will be resolved. They'll be put to peace, and we'll live together in harmony with God. But until then, they do coexist. The wheat and the weed do grow together side by side, even within us, so that to root one out might destroy the other. Maybe that's the second lesson of the parable. The wheat and the weeds grow together. We're not perfect. And the third is this: ultimately, there is a final judgment. "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather up the darnel weeds and bind them in bundles to burn them, but then gather up the weed into my barns." At harvest time, two things happen. The wheat and the darnel would be cut together and taken to the threshing floor, where the grain would be separated from the stalks. Then you'd have that lovely plump golden wheat and the small black grains of darnel, and they could be separated one from another, grain by grain. Imagine that job, throwing out the darnel and keeping the wheat. More than once, Jesus told his followers of a day of judgment, and he warned them to watch out for false prophets. "Beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwards they are ravaging wolves." The question is, how do we know one from another? And Jesus gives the answer: "By their fruit you will know them." And it's true, when it's all said and done, by the things we do, the things we say, whether we're gracious or generous or thoughtful and kind, or whether we're callous and stingy and insensitive and self-serving, by your fruits you will know them. And the amazing news that I want to bring this morning is that God's grace is seen in the fact that we grow in God's love. Slowly and surely, if we humble ourselves before God, if we seek God's will in our lives, if we try to reflect God's image, the image that was in us when we were created, then these things that are not of God will start to disappear. They will start to go away. And though perhaps never completely, they grow fainter and fainter by comparison of the light of God's love and God's grace in our lives. So three lessons from this parable. It's not our place to judge. We all have wheat and weeds in our lives. And though there is judgment, if we choose to follow Jesus, if we declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, Paul says, and believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. In God's sight, nothing is useless. In God's hands, even this dastardly deed of a vengeful neighbour can serve a useful purpose. Paul writes that we know all things God works for in good for those who love him, for those who are according to his purpose. God will work through us, through the wheat and the weeds in our lives, if we allow him, and he will bring that good fruit so that people can look at us and say, yes, I know that that person is someone who loves God. Amen.